Jeremiah chapter 29, please. Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah chapter 29. This will be behind me. If you'd like to read along with me and actually check your Bibles to make sure I'm not leading you astray. This morning's message is obviously going to be a new message. It is not a new text. I have referenced this text in the past, and I'm sure I'll reference it again in the future. Let's all stand, please. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 1. I'm going to speak this morning on the subject of what's on the board or what's behind you. I am an American. Now, I will nuance that because I'm not the American. We know who the American is, but I am an American. Now, before anybody takes a breather, everybody do this. I could preach this sermon any country on earth. I would preach exactly the same thing. I am an American. We're going to talk about American things, but the scripture is not American, folks. The scripture applies to everybody, every place. So you'll understand as we move forward. Verse 1. Now, these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah, the prophet, sent from Jerusalem unto the residue of the elders which were carried away captives. So this is in the second captivity. First captivity, 722 BC, the 10 northern tribes carried in to the Assyrian kingdom. By the way, they didn't go to heaven. They didn't disappear. They moved into places. You can follow where they still lived up until recently. The second captivity, 586 BC, the southern kingdom of Judah was destroyed. We're in between three parts of the southern kingdom. Daniel, the aristocracy, was carried into Babylon first in about 606 BC. Then they came back in about 598 BC and carried the middle class, including Ezekiel. When you read this, you'll quickly realize it's talking about that. Jeremiah is still in Jerusalem. He's writing to those people in Babylon, and he's telling them something. There will be a third captivity when Nebuchadnezzar destroys the temple for the first time, and that's in 586 BC. This is in between 598 and 586 BC. So he's writing to the residue of the elders which were carried away captive, to the priests and to the prophets and to all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon, modern-day Iraq. After that, Jeconiah, the king and the queen and the eunuchs and the princes of Judah and Jerusalem and the carpenters and the smiths, the middle class, by the way, were departed from Jerusalem by the hand, and he gives us some names. Elasa, that's a hard name to say, the son of Shaphan of and Gemara, the son of Hilkiah, whom Zedekiah, king of Judah, sent into Babylon to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, saying. So we now have a message from Jeremiah to the people in Babylon. Thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captive. We use the term diaspora. That's a Greek word, but they were sown into these various countries. The Lord speaks through Jeremiah and also to us as believers indirectly and says, and then he makes this statement, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon. So even though Nebuchadnezzar conquered the city, God is the one that sent them there. God is ultimately in control. Verse 5. Now he starts giving his commands. What do you do when you're in Babylon? Build you houses, dwell in them, plant gardens, and eat the fruits of them. Take you wives, beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that you may be increased there and not diminished. And seek the peace, the shalom, of the city, whither I have caused you to be carried away captives. So what do you do when you're there? He tells them to do some building, planting, marrying, having children, the normal things. and seek the peace of the city, thinking more in the ancient world, you were more connected to a local city community. It could be community, state, country, wherever God has you, whether I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it. For in the peace, for in the shalom thereof, shall you have peace. Verse 8, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams which you cause to be dreamed, for they prophesy falsely unto you in my name. I have not sent them, saith the Lord. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. I'm going to speak on this text this morning. Four simple ideas, really three, and one's just going to be at the end. We have to decide, by the way, we're a church. We're one church. We're not the largest church in the world, but we are a church. We have people, as you can tell, from all over the world. We have to decide how we live in America. Politics aside, most of us are too wrapped up in stupidity of politics. I will say some things that will make some of you angry this morning. That will not be intentional, and if you actually listen, I will make everybody angry someplace, because our politics are out of control on both sides, way out of control. But what are we going to do? Who are we? What's God command us to do? That's what we'll talk about this morning. Father, I ask your help. I will need it this morning. I want to share really simple ideas, but not so much simple to live. One of them I struggle with because of my personality, because of being an American. I struggle with it. Help us. Help us to hear. Help us to evaluate Scripture. Help us to obey Scripture if we're believers. If we're not a believer in this room, Lord, this would be a good day for folks to get saved, because that changes everything about how we approach everything. Bless our time now, I ask, and I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The year was 2003. My wife and I had the privilege to go on vacation to England. We flew into London area, whatever the airport is, and we went to the western part of the country, Midwest, down to the south, all the way to Cornwall. In that area, we spent a little bit of time in Wales. We went to see Stonehenge, which was wonderful. We went to see a Roman Colosseum in Wales, a small one, which was very fascinating, and a small Roman military outpost. By the way, which had been there, when did the Romans pull out of England? 410 AD. So it had been a couple weeks. I mean, it's just so much history, so much beauty. We enjoyed it. Well, it was Sunday. We were staying down at the bottom along the coast of Devon. Looks like Devon, they say Devon. And I'd found a church 45 minutes one way. This is what I told Jenny, same thing I always say. Jenny, we don't know what the church is going to be like. So I have a simple rule. We'll go Sunday morning. If it's good, we'll come back Sunday night. If it's not, we'll run away. We have run away in Scotland before. We've also been to a church in Scotland that we absolutely love to death. Well, we found this church about 45 minutes from where we were staying in the south coast of Devon. Lovely church, good people, good preaching, good singing, liked the church. And I said, I remember saying, you know, I don't know if I said to her, but I decided we're coming back tonight because this is good. Well, we met a young couple, newlyweds. I don't know their age, but they were in their 20s. In 2003, my wife was 21. She's still 21. I'm not sure how many years we had been married, but we've been married longer than they had been alive, I think. We started up a conversation that Sunday morning, and then we went back to where we stayed, 45 minutes one way. We probably got something to eat. We probably took a nap, got up, drove back, and they were there. They weren't from this area. They were from the East Coast called East Anglia, which is about three or four shires or whatever they call them in England. I don't know how all that works. They were from up in the north, not the far north, but the east and a little bit north. We talked again that Sunday night. Do you remember that conversation? We actually went into the parking lot and talked for a long time. And they said this to us, something to this effect. England is very post-Christian. By the way, being Christian in England is not cool. Did you hear me? Sounds like a lot of America today. They were a young couple, and they were struggling with one question. Should we have children and have them be born and grow up in a country where Christianity is hated more and more and more? Well, friends, I did not give them an answer because I don't have an answer, and that's between them and God. But I will tell you what. The questions of what we're going to do. We're 250 years old. I saw a historian, look up here. I saw a historian this week say America had nothing to do with Christianity when it was founded. I'm going to ask you to do this. Don't trust me. Go on YouTube and look up speeches by Franklin Delano Roosevelt in World War II. And you tell me if America had anything to do with Christianity. That's not only a lie, that's just fool. And this is a historian. Now, what he was really saying, if you picked his brain, would be this. There was not a denomination that started America, but he's lying because he wants to make America secular like it is. Well, behind me, I'm going to put some statements up here. It's important that we begin with, before we look at the text again, with some ideas. First of all, Israel does not equal America. Does everybody understand that? Yes or no? I am making no claim that we're Israel, we're under a covenant. No. America is America, Israel is Israel. Obviously, Israel is not the church. The reason this passage is helpful is mixed. Israel in the diaspora, meaning they're not in the promised land, they're not a covenant nation in their own land, they're scattered in other places, they're in a similar position to the church, which is in many countries and in many cultures. As I said, I can preach everything in the sermon in any country because this is kind of what you do when you're, by the way, Israel at this time was not in the promised land. They were in other countries. And I'm assuming you know the church is not in the promised land either. We're not in heaven. We're not in the kingdom. So 70 years, not in the promised land, 70 years in Babylon and then Persia, modern day Iran. The church in the USA plus every other country on earth, wherever God has believers, we're not in the kingdom and we're not in heaven. We're in this in-between place. So what is God's teaching for us when we're not where we're going to be, but we're here, all right? We're here. Now, I love where I am, but I understand other people have different feelings, and I'm not going to try to change all those feelings. I'm going to try to give you the scripture. All right, so let's look back at verse 4. This is his first command or teaching to the Jewish people scattered abroad in Babylon, which would be parallel to churches and Christians all over the world. By the way, look at me, friends. We support missionaries in Brazil, yes or no? We support missionaries in the Philippines. We support missionaries in Russia, Ukraine. We support missionaries in Africa. We support missionaries every place. This works for all Christians, period. Wherever you are. Verse 4, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captives. Now, we're not captives, but we're not where we're ultimately going to be. America, and I love America, is a halfway place. It's not heaven. It's not the kingdom. It's not Jesus ruling and reigning. We got lots of problems. So what does he tell us to do in verse 5? He tells the Jewish believers and us, build you houses and dwell in them. And plant gardens and eat the fruit of them. Take you wives and beget sons and daughters, Take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands, that you may bear sons and daughters, that you may be increased there and not diminished. The first command is simply this: plant your roots deeply. Wherever God puts you, plant your roots deeply. Don't live a life. Everybody, to my friends over here that are in the military, this is not about you, because you know there's a lot of military people here. I've met sailors that come to this church. I had a sailor meet me out in the parking lot years and years ago. Are you listening? He walked into the parking lot. He shook my hand, and this is what he said. In the parking lot, he shook my hand. We're here for 3 years, and I'm going back to Hawaii. That is exactly 100% against what God teaches. He says, plant your roots deeply. Build houses. Plant crops. Plant trees. Get married. Have children. Give your sons, give your daughters, increase your people. Plant your roots deeply. Look at me. Never go someplace and say, I'm going to be here for 3 years and then we're moving. Hey, and I've seen it recently. Leaving this place like we never existed. I'm done with that 3 years. The Bible tells all of us, plant your roots deeply. I've never lived a place that I didn't consider that the last place I would ever live. Plant your roots deeply. That's what you do. I think it's commands. I don't think these are suggestions. Build your houses, dwell in them, plant gardens, eat the fruit of them, take wives, you get sons and daughters, take wives for your sons, give your daughters to husbands, have more children, grandchildren. Why? That you can be increased and not decreased. My thoughts. God brought you here. Stay here as long as God keeps you here. Build houses. Well, build farms in the ancient world. Today, build businesses, build livelihoods, get jobs, whatever you call it. Get married, have children, promote, support, and defend marriage. Further your line or your lineage, increase your family. It seems to be simple. Translated for the United States, it means something like this. Contribute to the United States. Don't do this. I got my suitcases packed, and I got 1 foot stepping. Quit living some other place. Live where you're at. Enjoy where God's put you. Enjoy everything God's given you. Don't live in between places. Now, you know how much good I just did? Some of you are distracted. Some of you don't know where you're at. Some of you didn't hear a word I said. Can I say this? You say, are you angry? I get tired of people living to move. And when you get there, you're living to move from there. By the way, have you ever heard this? Here is no better than there. Because when you get there, there becomes here, and you start looking for a new there. By the way, just dig your roots. Get a family. Build a house. Get a job. Contribute to this country. Seems to be simple. People are living in between. I was asked recently, I'm not going to say by whom, would you ever consider leaving America? Now, you got to understand, I'm not a prejudiced person. Yeah, I am. I'm very prejudiced about America. But let me just say this. That thought is unthinkable. You say, could God move you? Yes. But friend, it's real simple. Contribute to America. You ought to be rearing children who are going to be productive, functional adults and faithful Christians to the best of your ability. You need to obey our laws. You need to expand your family. You need to join right in, and you need to enjoy everything that you can possibly enjoy in this great country. And there's a lot to enjoy in this great country. Well, I think I have something that these young people were quoting. Do I have the declaration? Read with me. By the way, this wasn't a bunch of people that had nothing better to do out in the streets pillaging, burning things down. They were men, it says in the beginning, in Congress, meaning they had been working on this for years. July 4th, 1776. the unanimous declaration of the 13 United States of America, when in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth a separate and equal station. Now, we're not a Christian nation, of course. To which the laws of nature and nature's God entitle them. In decent respect of the opinions of mankind require that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. Because of time, we're not going to read all of it. But we come to this next statement. It's my life's blood. It's what gives me hope that we can come back to these statements. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men, mankind, male, women, whatever ethnicity, whatever background, whatever abilities, whatever education, that all men are created equal. You say, have we always obeyed that? Did you listen to the song? The two kids were saying, we haven't arrived. You never arrive. If you're looking for the perfect country, you're looking for heaven. You're not there yet. The whole point of plant your roots deeply is to contribute to the betterment of where we're headed. I don't think they got it all right the first weekend. If we had got it all right, look at me. We wouldn't have a 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendment. We wouldn't have had a Civil War. My family fought in the Civil War. Do you all know what that was about? It wasn't about so you could have a giant screen TV. Good grief. But we do believe these. They put them right there in our founding documents, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their creator, again, God. We're certain, and this is read both ways, and it was debatable even in the first writing, inalienable or unalienable rights, that among them are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And by the way, I would recommend you live your life, enjoy the liberties that you have, and pursue real happiness the rest of your life. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. We, therefore, the representatives of the United States of America, this wasn't a mob, these weren't yahoos, these weren't people rioting in D.C., are burning and pillaging in Kenosha. Whoops. I offended both groups equally. No, we, the representatives of the United States of America in General Congress assembled, appealing to the supreme judge of the world. That's pretty heavy to put your hand up against God being the judge of all mankind. For the rectitude of our intentions, and it's always about intentions, nothing works perfectly, do in the name and by the authority of the good people of these colonies solemnly publish and declare that the United Colonies are and of a right ought to be free and independent states, that they are absolved from all allegiance to the British Crown, and that all political connections between them and the state of Great Britain is and ought to be totally dissolved, and that as free and independent states, they have full power to levy war, conclude peace, contract alliances, establish commerce, and do all other acts and things which independent states may have a right to. And for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence. General Washington always used that term for God, and part of that was the background where they came in. On the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, our sacred honors. Can you show the next photo, Tom? Most of you have seen this photo, I'm assuming. You've seen it. I have in my home, I don't have the original copy. I have a typed out copy of a relative I descend from on my dad's mother's side of the family named McCarty, who was the quartermaster, supply officer today for a fellow you might have heard of named General Washington. He begins his keeping of records in micro print and in, what's the term I'm looking for? Code. his record of his experiences. And the first experience is this. We crossed the Delaware and took the Hessians. Now, do you know General Washington didn't, can you see the picture? Now, it's a painting. It's not what exactly. You can see the ice floes. General Washington divided his troops into three parts. Do you know this? How many of you know how many parts made it across the Delaware? One part, the part he was with. The other two parts didn't make it across. He was going to attack the Hessians, the German mercenaries, with a three-prong approach. Two of the groups never made it across. He got across in his group. My relative was from one of those boats with him. That's not the reason I'm telling you the story. You know why I'm telling you the story? Next photo, Tom. Anybody know this guy? An actor? Rob Lowe? Yes or no? Show the next picture. It's not important that you know him. He's just an actor. The story's more important than him. I like history. By the way, if you know anything about me, one of the first things I'm going to do is I'm going to try to get your story. I like to know where people come from and how they got here. Rob Lowe was doing his genealogy stuff. You don't have to trust me unless you can pick it up online. You can get it. It's, I don't know what it's called. So who do you think you are? Just look up Rob Lowe in genealogy. You'll find it. Rob Lowe was doing his genealogy and he found out. Are you ready? That he had a family member in the Revolutionary War. The guy's name, I'm going to give you his exact name, Christopher East. He was thinking, by the way, it's pretty cool to have your family member in the Revolutionary War. Now, if you've been here a long time like me, you've been in all, your family's been in all the wars, but he was all excited. Until they did the real research and found out his name, Karen, was not Christopher East, it was Christopher Ost, which means East. He was actually a prisoner of war. He was one of the Hessians. You say, this America's, well, I'm going to blow your little bubble. Christopher East, or Ost, was one of the Hessians captured. I'm going to let you do the work. Pastor Warren is not going to do work for you. I'm done with that stuff with people that are lazy. You do it yourself, the Hessians. Well, when they conquered the Hessians on December 25th, and they won a battle. And by the way, the Hessians had been killing them mercilessly all in New York City and other places before this. They captured them quickly. 45 minutes, the battle was over. They were surprised. One of them was a guy named Christopher Ost. Everybody look at me. General Washington had printed up a page in English and in German that offered to those German mercenaries, which all of them were there pretty much against their will. They had been taken out of different German states, rounded up, and sold by their princes or whoever was in charge to England for money. He says, if you come to America, you're here. If you're willing to lay down your arms and support the revolutionary forces, we'll let you become American citizens. Rob Lowe's descendant stayed in America. Something like 17% of these people stayed right then, and a bunch of them went back and brought their family here. That's America that some people hate so much. God bless your little thin head. By the way, can you imagine? He was thinking, I have a Revolutionary War hero. No, he was on the wrong side. But General Washington opened his arms and said, you can join us. Just support the revolution. Don't have to fight. Support, lay down your arms, and become an American. I like that. I like that a lot. By the way, you say, Pastor Warren, I have bad people in my background. By the way, don't do your genealogy if you think everybody in your family was good. Ooh, please don't do that. Please don't do that. I watch Finding Your Roots on PBS. I like it. Louis Gates, professor at Harvard, black guy, does it. You say, I don't have any slave owners in my family. Take a breath. He's had a lot of blacks on his program that had that owned slaves. Be real careful about what you know. By the way, you're not your family. But my point is, in America, America has welcomed people from all over the world, and up until the 1980s, never had any problems with immigration. Immigration people were welcome because people like my wife's family and many families that have been connected to this church came here and they did exactly, not even knowing the text, they planted their roots deeply. They became Americans, not American haters. Since the 80s, we got groups that want to be, they want to stay wherever they are and hate America. That isn't going to work, by the way. We figured it, well, we haven't figured it out. I figured it out. Plant your roots deeply. Build houses, have children, go for it. Well, secondly, let's look at Jeremiah 29:7. This is the part that I struggle with, because I prefer to do something else other than obey the scripture here. He says, and seek the peace of the city whither I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it. I would say, plant your roots deeply. Secondly, say your prayers specifically. Learn to pray for your country. Learn to beg God for the things that are necessary for us to live in peace and to have quiet and decent lives and peaceable lives and to enjoy every single thing God has for us. Learn to say your prayers specifically. He says, when you're there in Babylon, don't hate the Babylonians. Don't hate everybody. Don't burn things down. No, you pray unto the Lord for the place where you live. The reasoning will come up again. For in the peace thereof, you shall have peace. Ezra chapter 6 transpires later. It transpires not during the Babylonian period of time, but during the Persian period of time. And the king wants Ezra and the Jewish people, he says, that they may offer sacrifices of sweet savors, aromas, unto the God of heaven, and pray for the life of the king and of his sons. That's a pagan, but he's just simply saying what Jeremiah said, pray for the people in America. Everyone look at me. I'll preface everything. Now this, again, I know I'll offend people all the way around because people don't think very well. On a good day, which implies not every day is good, I'm a 51% Trumper. Can I say this? I was less than that with Biden. I was about a 0% because I'm not sure who was the president. I haven't been happy in quite some time. I haven't been happy in America as president since Ronnie. That's been a while. But I'm going to say this to you. The hatred, look at me, the hatred that I see from people towards other people, when's the last time you actually prayed for your president? You say, you're talking about yourself. Your job, wherever God puts you, is to pray for, well, that's not the only place we find it. 1 Timothy 2, Paul says the same thing. He says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, and he uses all the words pretty much for prayer, supplication, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks, be made for all men for kings. Now, we don't have kings, but presidents, etc. If you're in a country with a king or a prime minister, you say, my prime minister is terrible where I'm from. Okay. I'm pretty sure the ones in Rome weren't much better. Look at me, friend. Nero, do you think he was a good guy? And Nero was preceded by Claudius, which was okay, which was preceded by Caligula. I mean, friends, horrible people. And what are we doing? Criticize, gossip, complain. No. Plant your roots deeply. Say your prayers specifically. He says, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority. I do that better for the president than I do for the governor. I freely confess. I struggle with the politics of this state and the dismissal of people in this state. Whole segments of this state are dismissed because our governor doesn't have time for them. for kings and for all that are, but here's the reason. It's the same as Jeremiah, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God. He's in Babylon, by the way, giving thanks, praying, as he did aforetime. Well, I have some statements on the board. The first one is for Louis Hedas. I am not the American. Louis? But I am an American. And I love America, and I love to, and you can't read what it says. There was a slip up in the type. I love America. Do I love everything? No. Do you like to pray for America? No, I prefer to do that word. What's that word? Gripe. How did you know that? I much prefer griping to praying. But God commands me to pray for this country. Why? That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Why? Because in the peace in a country, that's where you live, friend. Let me ask you, if you burn down half of Waukegan, where do you live? Stupid, we're done. Yes, I do love America, love this country. I grew up on the Illinois, Mississippi, and Missouri, where they come together. I love those rivers. I love those bluffs. I love the Great Lakes right here close to us. I love the Smoky Mountains. Oh, my goodness, in the Carolinas and Tennessee, I love the Blue Ridge Parkway. I love the American Southwest. I love Arizona, New Mexico, Utah, and Colorado. This last year, I found out that I love looking at Mobile Bay. Wow, wow, and wow. I don't like to confess this, but I even love Wisconsin. That stretches me. Wisconsin cheeseheads. I love, there's beauty there. There's wonderful places to go. I love the UP. Don't mind the lower peninsula. I like the Boot Hill of Missouri. And you got to say it right, Missouri. I like the Ozarks of Missouri. I like the cultures in the United States. I like to go to places where people don't look like me. I like the indigenous people that are here. And they've been here longer. I love this country. I watched a soccer game this week. I watched more soccer in the last 2 weeks than I've looked at in 69 years. I'm going to blame it 100% on Ade. He has messed me up. I watched the best soccer game I don't think I'll ever see, and I'm not happy with the outcome. Cape Verde, I don't know how they say it because it's Portuguese, played, and they lost. But boy, did they play magnificently. And I told Ade, I'm just happy that one of the places of their diaspora is the United States. I'm happy they're here. America's a better place. We're a better place for the places and the people that come here, all over the place. I don't even know that I can go to Arlington National Cemetery without weeping. A couple years back, we were in Springfield. My mother lives in Springfield. My two sisters, Illinois, live outside. They have a lot of memorials there. Cliff, you've been to those memorials around Springfield. They had some new stuff on Korea. We went there. I took Mom, Jenny, and I don't know, maybe my sisters. They have the walk where you can go on both sides. One side is the beginning of the war in Europe in World War II. The other is Japan, and you walk all the way to the end, both wars. My father was there. Four uncles were there. His brother was there in World War II. And Mom said, where was your dad at? Is there a place for him? Found the Korean memorial. They had Korean things there. And they had a place honoring the men in the Chosen Frozen in Korea. Now, there are people in this room that have no skin in the game. That's the reason you don't understand people who love America. You get skin in the game, meaning you've had family in every war. I have family in every major war starting in 1675. The first war that Jonathan Edwards, the great preacher, was part of and lost family members. 1750s, the French and Indian War. I think I have eight people that I have found in the Revolutionary War. Nobody in 1812, 1861 to 65, bunches of people on up the chain. It's part of my life. I love this country. To go to a place like these memorials or to go to Arlington, very difficult. How do you not weep and give thanks? I love this country. I do not like the hatreds and divisions of this country. I do not like that our country, and I said, I don't care what you think. I'm stating facts. Our country has progressively moved to the Looney Tune left and the Looney Tune right, and I do not understand that. Our country has always had a straight path and people on one side and the other struggling for what they thought, how this should be worked out. We have now moved. There are people connected to the mayor of New York City. By the way, this is not your religion. This is fact. They said it. That said, we think interracial dating is wrong. And David Duke, the KKK guy, came out and said, yeah, they're right. Looney Tune right, Looney Tune left. We're crazy all around these days. What happened to us? Can I say this? Most of us would rather gripe than pray. Maybe God will give us a little mercy. I'd like to see some mercy in this country. Wow. I actually want your children, when I see your children, I want your children to have every possible opportunity. That doesn't come from hate on either side. By the way, I don't think you have to be hateful on the center right or center left. The Looney Tunes, yes, always about hate and who you hate. We have a mayor in Chicago that blames all of his problems. By the way, again, out of his mouth, not my mouth. White Republicans from Indiana. What? I think that's called racism. Secondly, what's Indiana have to do with Chicago? I don't know. Governor does the same. By the way, we just think hate is okay as long as you're in the right group talking the hate. No, hatred and racism is not helpful to anybody, any place, ever. My friend, pray. Yes, I like to gripe. Recently, I was griping. You said you always gripe. Yes. That's the reason my wife said it right away. She couldn't read it. She knew. Recently, Donald Trump, by the way, not one of my heroes. He's the most narcissistic person I've ever thought of, if you know what a narcissist is. And if you don't see that, you've been smoking something. It was every news source for a month. He spent $13 million repairing that pool in front of the Lincoln Memorial. Yes or no? I got a question. How much did Barack Obama spend? By the way, for the same problems. When it was built, they keep getting algae in the dumb thing. Barack spent $34 to $35 million. You don't have to pray about it. You can do Wikipedia right now on your phone. You don't have to pray. Why didn't I hear anything about Barack? Why do I hear something about Donald the dumb Trump? We have problems in this country. Can I say this? We need to actually pray and quit the griping and getting on my righteous side over here. I'm right. You're not righteous. God says this, pray, 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 because what? Look at me. Why? We live here. If everybody hates everybody, you have to live in that hate. I prefer, by the way, when I walk out, to smile at people, be kind to people. I prefer them to be kind to me. You say, Pastor, you're beside yourself. By the way, friends, when you burn down Kenosha, where do the people live? Where do the... Well, I think everybody gets the point. I'll move on. Some of you are getting nervous. Proverbs 14. Here are some things to pray about, friends. I wrote down a list, and I'll just say them quickly. I would say pray for peace in our country. I would say pray that we obey law and we have law and order. That goes for everybody, not just the laws that you like. So when, I mean, it's just amazing how inconsistent we are. Pray for opportunity. I want every single young person to have opportunity to succeed to the best of their ability. I want that. Pray for that. Pray for the truth. Pray for the gospel. Pray for righteousness. Pray for God to open people's eyes. Pray for mercy. Proverbs 14:34, righteousness exalteth a nation. We now have Supreme Court justices that aren't sure what a woman is. That does not exalt a nation. It's interesting because this verse is not about Israel. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any group of people. Psalm 33:12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. We move on to Jeremiah 29, verse 7. Yes, there's Hebrew here. I want you to see it because it's a precious word in Hebrew. It says, and beyond this praying, so plant your roots deeply, say your prayers specifically, pray for, and it's harder for me, I can pray for the president and vice president, and no matter who they are, easier than the governors. I don't know why that is, but all those in authority, they impact our life. And seek the peace. Et shalom. The direct object marker in the word shalom, peace. Peace is a big word. He says you need to seek the peace of the city whither I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it. For in the peace thereof shall you have peace. Use your influence wisely. Try to sow peace and be a builder of peace and a bridge of peace and make things healthy. We ought to use all of our influence to bring health as much as we can. Now, I want to say, am I hopeful? Please look at me. No. I don't know what's going on with our country. The more weird you are, you get elected. It's like, whatever happened to normal humans that actually have the best interest of our country in mind, even if I don't like all of their policies? I didn't like Richard Daley, but Richard Daley loved Chicago. I'm not sure about who's there now. I mean, it's weird to me, the people we have elected and put in place. By the way, use the influence you have wisely. Peace is obviously the absence of strife, hate, and harm. By the way, you are to be an instrument of God's peace. Yes, leading people to Christ, preaching the gospel, but also sowing peace in a culture. Peace is also the presence of some things. Not only the absence of strife, hate, and harm, but the presence of unity, kindness, love, neighborliness, and maybe the blessings of God. That's what we're looking for. I only have one life to live, friends. I only have so much life to give. I only have so much time to share. Please look at me. When I walk out of this place, we are the most distracted people. We have a hard time hearing truth because most people are righteous. Get over your righteousness and get down to Scripture. You live here. Plant your roots deeply. You live here. Say your prayer specifically so that God would give us a better union. Not destroy America, but a better going back to our principles, living those principles out. And I would say use your influence wisely. This week, a woman and a man in a parking lot fighting over a parking place. Can I be honest with you? If I pull into Sam's Club and there's not a parking place nearby, I assume God is saying, Ralph, you need to walk anyhow. They're fighting over a parking place. And they didn't just get mad because somebody cut them off. Next thing I know, the guy's parking cattywampus, the woman's bringing out a gun. You say, who's right and who's wrong? Are you a racist? They're both stupid. It's a parking place. Don't you know how to live your life? If somebody cut me off, would you get mad for a second? Then I pull out and walk in and I'm a big boy, a parking place. So somebody's dead over a parking place. Can I say this? We don't use our life wisely. You need to invest, look at me, in the peace of this city, this community, this state, this country, because guess where you live? You live here. We have too many people that are angry, hateful, waving it. Where's my gun? Well, I tried, I don't have, what? You bring a gun to Walmart? God help us. You're going to make a choice this morning. And the choices, unfortunately, are logically out of order. I'm going to force you to make a choice. On one extreme is burning America. We have a group of Looney Tunes on both sides that don't mind burning, pillaging, and destroying. That's stupid. We have a large group of Americans that just want to use America. How about this? How about you become one of those people that build a better place for people? By the way, who are you building a better place for? My own children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, etc. You're building the place you live. Yes, not using this country, definitely not burning this country. Building this country, adding good things to this country. I'm going to say this, and we're done this morning. Please look at me, and I'm within 1 minute done. Please look at me. I've been here almost 30 and a half years. I wouldn't spend so much of my life with a Christian school if I didn't want to contribute to this community. We make no money. I spend more effort and my daughter on this crazy school trying to help people. Why do you think we're doing it? For fame? For money? Seriously! A long time ago, some people wanted a Christian school for this community. We have extended that. The school had been here 20 years before me. I've now been here. I'm in my 31st year. We're going to extend it because of one reason. What I'm preaching is what we're trying to live out. We're trying to plant our roots deeply. Where at? White area? No, this area. We're trying to pray specifically for this area and other area. And we're trying to do what? Use our life, our influence wisely for the betterment of this community. And I had people say, get over it, by the way. Years ago, I had a guy say, you ought to move this church west. You ought to move this school west because there's more money west. The problem is, this is where we serve. Now, I've got a question for you. Are you a user, a burner, or a builder? I hope you're a builder. That's what we need. I conclude with the verses. Simple sermon. Verse 4 says, thus saith the Lord of hosts. Verse 8 says, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets and your diviners tell you anything else. Verse 9, for they prophesy falsely unto you in my name. I have not sent them, saith the Lord. I would say, as we summarize and we're done this morning, here it is. Plant your roots deeply here. If God moves you, that's fine. That happens. Secondly, say your prayers specifically. Pray for our local community for wisdom so we don't become more and more hateful to each other. It's almost like you hate people so much. I don't get it. That's how we live. That should not be how a Christian lives. Thirdly, use your influence wisely. Be a builder, not a burner, not a user. And fourthly, obey the Lord only. Don't listen to stupidity. This is what God has called us to do. Let's pray together, and we're going to have the Lord's Supper. Father, thank you for this time. I ask your blessings on this time. Maybe at the conclusion of this sermon, the invitation is this simple. What are we going to do? Build, burn, or use? Some people come here and think America was just here for them to come and use. No. Families spent lifetimes, generations, multiple generations, building even the state of Illinois. I think about the people that first put tiling in fields so they didn't flood, and they did it through a spade over miles and miles and miles and miles of backbreaking work. And my family was involved in that. Father, we're here to build. We need to get over this using or burning. These messages seem simple. It's what we do in any place we're at. Help us to do so. Help us to be builders on this Lord's Day, I ask in Christ's name. Amen.